The end. back to the Metal Meltdown. Soy el Dr. Misterio, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live and in Technicolor from unceded Coast Salish territory in Burnaby, British Columbia, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Remember that you can listen to us online at cjsf.ca, and that you can also listen to us through the app for Android and iOS. And also you can find all the podcasts created for and by mankind at cjsf.ca/contents/metal-meltdown. We just listened to Infernal Devastation. They are from Germany, and we listened to their latest single, well, the latest single from last year, but the latest nevertheless, Into Darkness. Before that, we listened to Silent Revenants. They are also from Germany, and we listened to the song Embers, which is part of their 2022 album, The Withering of the Blue Flower. And we started the set with our guests tonight, 13 Goats, and we listened to the song Global Fuck Up, which is part of their brand new album, Capricorn Rising. And yes, let's see if technology cooperates and we can chat with Graham. So,
hello.
Oh, hello, Graham.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. You're coming through much clearer now.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry about the little, you know, technology mishaps, but you know, of course it had to happen on a live show.
Yeah. No worries.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Thanks. Yeah.
Just, quiet Monday evening.
That is right. Well, not anymore, I guess. Thank you very much for joining us, and sorry again for the little, yeah. Anyway, we're now connected, and it's awesome. I guess for those people that are not too familiar with 13 Goats, can you give us a little bit of background about, you know, the band and how long have you been playing and, you know, how many albums, EPs, whatever you have out?
Yeah, of course. All right. So 13 Goats is a kind of hybrid extreme metal band. We play in a lot of different genres, but the primary ones are death, thrash, and groove. We started a few years ago. The band was created by myself and Rob Fitzgerald, who is the lead guitarist and backing vocalist. I play the other, mostly rhythm and a couple of lead guitar parts as well, and I do the main vocals and the lyrics. We started the group a couple of years ago and then put out our first record, Servant of the Outer Dark, Servants of the Outer Dark in 2022. Brought a couple other guys in to create the full lineup. Working with our drummer Leo Verman, and we had a guy Cody Levitch playing bass for us. And that was the lineup that created the second album, Capricorn Rising, which came out just last month on Exodus Stratagem Records down in the U.S.
Well, that's pretty good. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a great, you know, summary of I don't know how many years of the band's life. So that's great. Thanks for sharing.
Rob and I have been doing it. We've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years, but it's only had a full lineup since the first record came out. So about 2 years as a four piece.
Sounds good. In terms of, I guess that now you're mentioning, you know, who did what, like in terms of compositions or writing, I guess, the songs, is there a kind of division of tasks, like lyrics versus riffs, or how does it work with you guys?
Yeah, so musically, on the first record, Rob and I wrote most of the music, and I wrote most of the lyrics, but he had a hand in that as well, and we were working with another guy on bass originally, named Mike Redston, who is also in a one-man black metal project called Snake Blade, and now has branched out into other non-metal styles of music. He was on bass at the time, and he did a little bit of music as well for the first record. This second record, all of the music was written by Rob, Leo, and myself, and I wrote all of the lyrics, with the exception of one song where Leo lent a hand and contributed some words as well.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm always curious about the creative process. It's very interesting to find out how, you know, different bands do different things. I guess for the albums, do any of them, again, any of the two, do they have like a theme, you know, within themselves? Are they like theme albums or not necessarily?
Well, the first record was, we were still sort of figuring out who we were and what we wanted to do. And I think that we had a natural chemistry from a musical standpoint, but we didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves or make ourselves too predictable off the bat. So we wrote about pretty much anything that we were, you know, that felt inspiring and organic. So you've got a lot of different subject matter covered on the first album, but it did sort of coalesce into a common theme of, you know, the transformative power of darkness, and how often the things that are, you know, that we're least apt to talk about are the forces that have the, you know, the greatest influence over our lives or over, you know, over our direction as a species. So we wrote about, you know, about a couple of songs about some darker parts of world history that had affected, you know, our families and our upbringing, I guess. All of us are Eastern European in the band, you know, within the last three generations. So we're a Canadian band, but all of our families come from parts of the former Soviet Union. And so we have sort of a connection to some pretty nasty stuff that happened in the last couple hundred years, and some of that's more relevant than ever now. But we also wrote about, you know, we wrote songs about, you know, characters from fiction that we thought just sort of embodied like the darker aspects of the human psyche. Some of those characters ended up sort of helping us inspire our own band mascot. We wrote about, you know, stuff that was inspired from horror movies, just kind of all over the map. And then on the second album, those things really came together and formed a solid concept. So the second album is more of a concept record, kind of a rock opera, to be honest. And it's based on that mascot character that I mentioned earlier, and just sort of follows his transformation from being a regular person into being somebody who essentially is like an Antichrist type figure and who represents all of the id, I guess, of humanity collected into a single persona. So that mascot, for anyone who's not familiar, his name is Shepherd, and he's sort of an interdimensional time traveling demon who wears a goat skull mask, and he's accompanied by these 12 demon goats, and so together they're 13 goats. And he starts out as a regular person, but becomes disillusioned with humanity's greed and constant wars and contempt for each other and for the planet that we live on, and those forces eventually drive him to sell his soul for the power to talk to animals and raise them up into an army to take back the earth and put it under new management. So kind of a way of tapping into that frustration and anger that I think a lot of people feel in the world currently. You know, I think there's a lot of people, you know, saying things online or in the media about, you know, man, I wish I I wish I didn't live during this era, or I wish I could just, like, you know, take a step back. I wish I didn't have to be part of the human race. And we just kind of thought, like, what does that look like if you pour that into a character and run with it? And ultimately, you know, we think it looks pretty ugly. So the Shepherd character is sort of a repudiation of that attitude, even though it's something that I think we've all experienced. It's natural to be angry about the world you live in, and it's natural to want to just sort of throw up your hands and say fuck it all and rebel against it. But when you do that, you turn into a monster, and that's kind of what the story behind the second album is about.
Wow, that's pretty, you know, interesting and intense at the same time. And it's, you know, it's very funny when you started saying about the, you know, how the character and then the 13 goats and that, I was thinking about the next question, which was about the 13 goats name. So that was pretty, you know, you read my mind. So thank you very much. That was a great. Yes.
We came up with this concept for the the band name and then the mascot, and but the truth is that, like, we created the name, me and Rob, years ago, just sort of sitting down at a bar for drinks, and we had no idea what we were going to name the band, so we just started smashing evil sounding numbers together with evil sounding animals until something stuck. We went through a bunch. We were going to be 7 snakes, and then we were going to be 666 wolves. And then somebody said 13 goats, and we laughed at it. And then we went, fuck no, 13 goats. That's awesome. So, once we had the name, then we had to come up with the story and the concept and the mascot to justify it and make it mean something. If you want to know the truth.
Yeah, no, that's, You're not too bad. I won't say names, but there's a couple of bands that the band's name came out of, you know, something even more, how could I put it, random or, you know, less, yeah, anyway.
Well, to be honest, you know, it's a crowded market and there's a lot of bands out there. A lot of names are already taken. So I think if you want to stand out and you want to do something a little bit off the beaten path, you've got to either exercise some real creativity or drink a lot of alcohol and say some random words.
Yes. No, it's, I'm always curious about these things, how the name came upon, you know, how you met, whatever, like the history of the band, like, yeah, all that. It's always very, very interesting. And many times, yeah, it has at least a couple of anecdotes about some of those items. So it's entertaining, you know, in many ways. So yeah, thanks for that, for the leadway. All right, so have you, I think you have gotten a chance to tour a little bit for the new album, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We set off on a tour right after our appearance at Armstrong Metal Festival in early July, and that tour took us across 14 cities in about 16 days, out to Winnipeg and then back to Vancouver again.
Wow, that's
so brilliant. We kicked off the tour. We drove out to Red Deer to start the tour there, then worked our way through the prairies out to Winnipeg and then back towards the coast. And we did that with a band from Edmonton called Fall of Earth, who also play kind of a mixture of different extreme metal styles. You know, have sort of found a way to brew it together into something cohesive and quite catchy, actually. And those guys were a lot of fun to tour with. We had a blast, and we'd love to hit the road with them again.
Oh, that's great. You know, I mean, it's one thing when you can travel with your fellow, you know, bandmates for I don't know how many days or sometimes weeks. But yeah, if you can actually do it with another band, that's even better.
Well, I'll tell you, it teaches you a lot about, yourselves and about the way you relate to other people, right? Like when you're a local band, I think you can sort of just play with anybody because you only have to deal with people for a few hours at a time, and then everybody goes home to their own houses, and you know, into their separate lives, right? But when you're on the road with people for, like you said, days at a time or weeks at a time, and you've got to share accommodations and you have to work with each other's, you know, sleep and bathroom schedules and deal with, like, when everybody wants to eat and what they want to eat and just people's, like, people's etiquette in different situations, right? You learn a lot more about the people that you're working with. And I think that you learn a lot about whether or not you can be a band for the long haul with those people or whether you have to make some changes. Because out in public, we naturally hide some things from each other. You know, we put on our public persona, and when we're socializing with people in a short-term context, we have the luxury of being able to show them what we think will be palatable to them. But when you tour with people, you're seeing each other inside and out 24/7. Yes. So if there's anything that's going to cause issues in the group dynamic, it's going to rear its head.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's, so that it's really cool that you got a great experience and you got to meet another band of brothers playing with them.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, I would say that we were very lucky, in terms of the group that we had for that tour. There were, a lot of challenges, but just about everybody got along really well, and we overcame most of them as a team. You know, people's vehicles broke down, there were confusions sometimes about where everybody was sleeping or who was paying for what. And I think in a group where people were less kind and tuned into the needs of the group as a whole, that could have become really tense. But we all got along. Really well, and for the most part, we just worked it out, just made it work. And I think we ended that tour. I think most of us ended that tour as really good friends.
Awesome, that's great. So any future plans for touring, or is that to come, or yeah?
We are probably going to focus mostly on weekend touring for the next couple of months. We have some festival appearances that I cannot go into detail about, but that are in the works for the coming year. So we'll want to prep for those. And we also want to get into writing new music. We don't want to leave too much of a gap between albums, because as you know, people's attention spans are short these days. There's a lot of new music being produced, and streaming services have contributed to this kind of like music ADHD, where people consume new content and then immediately want something else or they get bored. So we do want to start working on a third album pretty soon. And so I think that'll be the focus for a little while. We'll go into writing mode. We'll play some weekend tours. We'll get ready for some festival appearances and some bigger plans, hopefully for next summer and beyond. But by then, we may have new music to share as well. Who knows?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, sounds like a great plan for the next coming months.
We're all guys in our. Our 30s and 40s as well. And we are lucky in the sense that all of us, have good day jobs that pay us enough and give us enough of a work-life balance to pursue our passion.